Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have a day that our nation sets aside to give thanks to you for all our blessings. We thank you that so many have come together this morning to honor and worship you. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill our hearts and help us to see what it means to be truly grateful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, happy Thanksgiving. Good to see everybody out. I know you have a busy day ahead of you, especially for those who may have turkeys in the oven. I'll try to keep it fairly short so nothing burns. But I do want to welcome back our friends and family from out of town who have joined us once again for a wonderful celebration of our Lord. Last night, I heard a report that some stores are rethinking being open on Thanksgiving Day. You know, that's kind of a recent phenomenon, just has happened the last couple years. And so some stores now have said, hey, you know what, we are going to close on Thanksgiving. And that comes as a relief for many of their employees. I mean, wouldn't that be a drag to have to work on Thanksgiving? And so those folks can now spend time with their families. But don't think for a moment that all of these companies are concerned for their workers. It seems that the decision not to open on Thanksgiving Day was because it turned out that it actually didn't improve sales for the weekend, that it actually took away from Black Friday. And yet, stores are still open, like Kmart, 6 a.m. it opened. Right now, Kmart is open. Can you imagine that? I mean, who would want to go to Kmart, right? But anyhow, Macy's is open. I think Macy's is getting open at noon, and then JCPenney at 3, and Toys R Us. Kids, I know you like that, right? Toys R Us open at 5, and they're going to stay open for 30-some hours from 5 until midnight the next day. What I say about this, guys? Stay away from stores like that. Sorry. Toys R Us, no more. I was thinking, too, about what has happened to Thanksgiving on a more serious note. And have you noticed that every sacred holiday has been overtaken by American consumerism? Every single sacred holiday has been overtaken by the materialism of our society. Think about it for a moment. Christmas? Right? Christmas? I know some of you like Santa Claus and elves and reindeer, right? But they're secondary to Jesus and all the buying and selling and wanting to get gifts, right? You guys get excited about that? That's not the real reason for the season, right? It's about Christ, but that's been overtaken. And not just Christmas, but All Hallows' Eve, right? All Hallows' Eve was All Saints' Eve, the eve before we celebrate the saints who have gone before us. But that's been overtaken, right? What do we call that now? Halloween. And you know now Halloween ranks as the second largest grossing holiday in the country. Billions of dollars spent on candy, of all things, and scary costumes, right? And then there's Easter, the day of the resurrection. The greatest miracle in all of history has been supplanted, we know this, for many decades by Easter bunnies, colored eggs, hams, and what am I missing? Chocolates. That's right, chocolates, right? And so who would have ever thought that Thanksgiving, of all holidays where we just sit with our family and enjoy a good meal, and some of us watch football and become zombies, and become into a zombie-like, you know, just watching that game, right? And others just gobble until they wobble. I mean, come on. And we literally become couch potatoes and our kids become tater tots. I mean, really? What more could happen to Thanksgiving? Well, we all know what happened. They started opening stores. And you know, we can get a little bit frustrated about this. This really isn't anything new. It shouldn't surprise us that Thanksgiving the society is trying to distort it. But it reminds us that there are choices in life. There are really only two main choices, either God's way or man's way. God's kingdom or the world. The man-centered world, right? Those are the two choices set before us. And Jesus reminded us in our gospel lesson from Matthew. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or what you're going to drink. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And so you see, there's the choice between God's kingdom and man's world. In God's kingdom, we're commanded not to worry, right? Jesus says, don't worry. In the world, isn't that what people are always doing? They're always worrying. In God's kingdom, God says, don't concern yourself with food and fashion. But let's look around. Isn't that what the world is always concerned about? Either not having enough food, not having enough clothing, or if you've got the food, not eating too much, right? Or if you've got the clothes, not getting consumed on what's the latest fashion or fad. Not in God's kingdom. We're to seek God's righteousness. We're to seek God's truth. We're to seek and express God's love. Two polar opposites. And in the world's about self. In God's kingdom, it's about others, starting with God and then with your neighbor. So there's this contrast. And so these holy days of Christmas and All Saints and Easter and Thanksgiving are choices that we have to decide. Are we going to honor the Lord? Or are we going to get sucked in by the world? And these choices are not just for these holy days. These choices are for every day. In fact, Daniel, we read in the book of Daniel that Daniel the prophet prayed and gave thanks to God three times a day. So really, Thanksgiving is supposed to be for not just one day out of the year, but every day of the year. And you know, it's interesting. When we follow God and His kingdom, we're actually following Jesus. Remember, kids, what did we talk about for those of you who were here last Sunday? Remember what last Sunday was? It was Christ the King Sunday, right? And we celebrate that Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, so that when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're really talking about following Jesus. Jesus said on the night before He died, that wonderful verse from John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now, we all know that verse, right? But it's interesting, there's an equally important verse that follows in verse 7. And that's when Jesus says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. You know what that means? That means that if you know Jesus, you know God. And if you know God, you know Jesus. That means if you see Jesus, you've seen God. That's what it means. And you know, if Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, you know one of the ways that we seek first the kingdom of God? To give thanks. That's right, to give thanks. That is one of the ways we can not only seek the kingdom, but we experience the kingdom. And I just want to talk a little bit about what that means, to give thanks. You see, if we're really giving thanks, all right, we have to first remember who to whom we're giving thanks. We're giving thanks to God. I wonder what atheists and agnostics do on a day like today, right? Who are they giving thanks to? Now you say, well, we can give thanks to people, right? I guess you could give thanks to the government, right, for supplying their our services every day. We certainly can give thanks to our family for good things they've done, but that falls short, doesn't it? Because who do you thank when it comes to your own body? Who gave you your own body? Who put your brain in your body? Who gave you your heart and every organ that you have? Who gave you the capacity to think and communicate, to love others? Who gave you this planet, the sun, the moon, the plants, the animals, the rain, everything we need to live on this planet has been given to us. Who do you thank? Do you thank the primordial soup that supposedly life just kind of came out of? We know, and scientists have problems with this, we know that life just doesn't come from nothing. Life begets life. Life comes from life. And so this creation that we can actually see was made by that which we cannot see, which is always alive, and which simply gave us life. And so the starting point for giving thanks is always to remember to whom we give thanks. We give thanks to God, but you know, it's not just enough to give thanks to God as our Creator. We also give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, we see true love. Because in Christ, that's where our forgiveness comes, right? Because it's one thing to be thankful, right, for all the good that God has provided in the natural world and in our bodies and be made in the image of God and the capacity to love. But wow, what a gift to be able to say, I have a second chance. What a gift to be able to know that God wants His best for you. What a gift that says God wants you to experience the fullness of life, that God wants to give you eternal life, and what a gift to be able to be forgiven of our sins. That's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. That's why we give thanks to God in Jesus. It's not enough to give thanks to God as Creator, but we give thanks to God as our Redeemer, as the one who has made Himself known in Jesus Christ, who has given us forgiveness, second chances, a new life, new hope each and every day. But you know, it's not enough to understand from whom all blessings come. Giving thanks is a choice. Remember how I said in life there are just two choices, God's kingdom or man's world, God's ways or man's ways. It's a choice, though, that we have to make. I like what Channel 2 News has been showing. Great, great message this week. You may have seen it if you've ever watched Channel 2 News. They show a picture of the world from the atmosphere, and then they have these words. It says, you can look at the world and say, we have a lot of reasons to be miserable. Or you can look at the world and say that we have a lot of reasons to be thankful. Isn't that so true? And then Channel 2 News, it says, we hope you choose thankful. I can look around and say, hey, there's a lot of things to be miserable right now. Or there's a lot of things to be thankful for. It's a choice that we make. Are you going to choose to be thankful? Are you going to choose to be miserable? And you say, well, how can I choose to be thankful? How do I express that thanks? You express that thanks by saying thank you. Kids, isn't it important to say thank you? I'm sure your parents have taught you that, right? Well, we're to say thank you out loud to God as well. And not only are we to thank God with our mouths, but we're also to thank God in our hearts. And not only are we to thank God by our mouths and our hearts as individuals, we're to do that corporately. That's why we're gathered together. That's why President George Washington said we need to set aside a time as a nation to publicly and corporately honor and thank God for the blessings upon the nation. That's why Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday in 1863. It's why we continue as citizens to give thanks so that we can do it audibly, we can do it from our hearts, and we can do it together corporately. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 136. And that can be found on page 633. You know, when people are going through a hard time, if someone comes to my office and they feel overwhelmed, they're not sure about the future, you know what I tell them to do? I tell them to first look at all the good in your life, okay? All the good that's already happened. That's number one. Number two, look at all the good that you presently have, all right? And be thankful for those things, okay? You see, when we give thanks, what we're doing is we're putting our mind on the good things in our lives. So we're taking our mind off the negative things. We're putting them on the positive things. And then when we give thanks, remember I said the first part of that is to remember to whom we're giving thanks. And so when I look at the good, then I'm like, whoa, where is the source of my good? The source of my good comes from God. And then I can move forward to face that adversity. Then I can move forward to face those challenges. Then I can attack with God those things that are negative, those things that are bringing me down. Psalm 136 is a perfect example of this. Look at how the psalmist sets things up. First, the psalmist declares, Psalm 136 there, give thanks to the Lord. That's a command. Give thanks. That's something we actively have to do. Just like love, right? Actually, giving thanks is an expression of love. For he is good. God is good. Do you believe that or not? He's got your back. As Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And then he writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. If God be for us, who can be against us? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, some people say, oh, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. I want you to see how many times God is declared as one who loves us forever. Let's look at this real quick. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Remember who is the Lord of lords? Ah, Jesus Christ. There's a reference to Christ right there. Verse 4, to him who alone who does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill. Again, loving kindness everlasting. To him who spread out the earth. To him who made the great lights, the sun, the moon and stars, verse 9. To him who smote the Egyptians and their firstborn. Verse 11, brought Israel out of their midst. Verse 13, who divided the Red Sea. So you see what the psalmist is doing. He's first starting with giving thanks because of who God is, that he is creator of all and that he loves us forever. Second, he's giving thanks for all that God has made. Third, he's giving thanks for all that God has done. You see, you do the same in your own life. You've got to be intentional. Verse 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. Overthrew, verse 15, Pharaoh led his people through the wilderness. 16, smote great kings. 17 through 20, gave the people land as a heritage. Verse 23, this is really important. You can overlook this. Verse 23, okay, this is for all of us right now. Look at this. Who remembered us in our low estate. You know what that's saying? God remembers us in our need, both physical and spiritual. He recognizes that we're needy. He recognizes that we are sick. He recognizes that we need help. And he's willing to help us, to make us better, to be the people he wants us to be. Right there. It's personal, personal. Verse 24, he's rescued us from our adversities, and not just natural adversities and other people who are wicked or evil or who attack us, but the adversities of sickness, the adversity of sin, the adversity of death, the adversary, the devil. He's rescued us from our adversaries. Verse 25, who gives food to all flesh. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So you're down in the dumps. Be grateful. Give thanks. Last thing. There are two blessings that will always result when we give thanks to the Lord. It will keep us humble. Think about it for a moment. The grateful heart is a humble heart. Gratefulness and humility go hand in hand. A humble person knows that he or she doesn't deserve anything, and that the smallest blessing, the smallest thing, is a blessing. But when one is ungrateful, they think they deserve all the good that is coming to them, and they get an entitlement mentality. They say, hey, I not only deserve better, I want better. And so the ungrateful person is often cynical, negative, and critical. Honestly, I don't believe there's any other sin, I should say. There are maybe greater sins, pride, but again, it reflects pride, like the sin of ingratitude. Shakespeare wrote, and I quote, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth is to have a thankless child." Think about that for a moment. For us who are parents, okay? For us who have labored and loved and invested so much in the health and lives of our children, and rightfully so, we know that there is nothing worse than when our children do not seem to appreciate or to be thankful for the sacrifices we have made. There's nothing worse than an ungrateful child. And that's exactly what happens when people shake their fist to the Lord of heaven and earth. The poet Milton, the blind poet, he said that a person with an ungrateful spirit only has one vice. He said, because all the rest of his vices are virtues compared to ingratitude. Every other sin is a virtue compared to the sin of ingratitude, Milton wrote. No, to give thanks is to check the sin of pride, because you realize that what you have, the good that you have, you don't deserve, and that the good that you have ultimately is not because of you, but it's because of God Almighty. James 4:6 tells us, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A humble heart will be a grateful heart, and a grateful heart will be a humble heart. And last, I'm going to tell you what else will happen when we give thanks in our hearts. It will translate into giving to others. You see, when you understand that God has given you so much, especially in Jesus Christ, and that you don't deserve all of it, it should move you to want to bless and to give others. Isn't that the command? Or not the command, but the promise that became a command for Abraham? God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you might be a blessing to others. God blesses us, not to just keep it for ourselves, but God blesses us to let us know that he loves us, that he's a good God, and that he wants to have fellowship and relationship with us, but then he blesses us so that we can give it away to others, do you see? And so a grateful heart is a heart that seeks to bless other people. And that means giving of yourself, giving of your time, your attention, your talent, your treasure, all for the sake of other people. And so when we give thanks to God, we can show our gratitude by giving back to him and to our neighbor. So today, as we gather with family and friends, as we stuff ourselves so much that, like I said earlier, we become couch potatoes and our kids become tater tots, and let us not merely gobble till we wobble, but rather let us truly in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you, as Paul writes, and it's on the cover of our bulletin. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. And this is one of the ways we can seek first the kingdom and experience his kingdom power in our lives. Amen?
Amen.